Sunday the 17th of October 2021, James Logan, Gospel, Ballymena Gospel Hall.
Now good afternoon everyone, thank you very much for coming to the drive-in this afternoon. We know it's an effort to be here, and I speak on behalf of the Christians that organise the drive-in service. It's for your benefit, it's for your eternal blessing, especially if you're not saved. There's men and women here have been praying this week that those that gather that are not saved, that they might make the wise choice and go in for salvation and trust in God's blessed Son. So we thank you each and every one for coming, and trust that God might bless you according to your need. The next drive-in meeting will be here again, 3:30. If the Lord be not come, if he tarry, next Lord's Day at 3:30, and the speaker on that occasion is our brother David Gilliland, and no doubt you'll be made most welcome, and trust that the Lord will bless his word as it goes forth on another occasion. I'd like to just speak briefly now to God in prayer and ask for help and blessing in the moments that lie before us. Our Father, we lift our heart to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and thank thee again for the wonderful person that many of us in this car park have come to know and to trust, the one that loved us and gave himself for us at Calvary. And we thank thee again for his tremendous cross work, and we pray for help on another occasion to make the message of the gospel clear and plain, that Christ receiveth sinful men, and all that have gathered here today, whether saint, that their heart might be warmed, and if there's sinners amongst us today, that their hearts might be stirred in the reality that time is short and death is sure, and they need Christ if ever they're going to be in heaven. And we pray for help to point them by way of the cross to gaze upon the Saviour, who finished the work that was given him to do, and now salvation is free. So we ask for thy presence in a special way here in Ballymena this afternoon. We thank thee for the wonderful message of the gospel. It'll be told out in many other places in this land and further afield in the remaining hours of the day. May it please heaven to open its windows and pour out blessing, and souls be redeemed even today for the great eternity. So remember us as we turn to thy word now. We need thy presence and we need thy help, and we look to thee for grace, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I have just one verse to read with you this afternoon. It's found in, if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. Paul writes here in verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And we know that God will bless the public reading of his precious word, and we trust to a precious soul here this afternoon. There's five words here that have impressed themselves on my mind in the days of the week, and two words maybe more particular, but five words: the preaching of the cross. And if we had read in the verse prior, it says the cross of Christ. And I want to occupy our minds just for a moment or two this afternoon in two words, and that's the cross. You know, I believe there's no greater subject than the cross. And there's something about the mention of these two words that stirs both the saint and the sinner as they hear them. To the saint today, to you who are sitting in the car, you know, it brings a tear maybe to the eye when you think of the cross. And it draws thankfulness from your heart when you think of what transpired there on that cross outside Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago. We're glad, aren't we, of the man who there in that center tree took our place and suffered in our stead. But you know today, and this is where the burden of my soul is, for you who are not saved, I believe the mention of the cross stirs your soul, because you realize, dear friend, that there was something there on that occasion happened, took place that day, that the world has never been the same since. What an effect the cross has had in the world. What an effect the cross has had in the lives of many. And maybe you live with those and they're saved and you see the change in their life. Maybe others have told you about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you realize there was something took place that day and it has affected your life. And I wonder this afternoon, dear friend, are you willing to allow the Word of God again to penetrate your soul and to stand up, dear friend, and realize, to face up to the reality that I must deal with the one who there in that tree bore my sins in his own body. Dear friend, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ faces you another time. You know, men who preach, they love to mention the cross. There's something about it. And I would like, by the help of God, to bring before you again the cross. The first little thought, we have it here in the verse, the preaching of the cross. You know, I was thinking just this morning, for almost 2,000 years now, men have sought to preach the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, from Jerusalem and Judea to the uttermost parts of the earth. And here we are in 2021 in a car park, and here standing in the back of a van preaching what? The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why is there so much emphasis put on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? Why have men left their secular employment and taken up the wonderful message of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's my second simple thought. I want to think of the purpose of the cross. Why was the cross so important? Why, dear friend, on that occasion, did the Romans take there the Saviour outside the city of Jerusalem and crucify him there on the cross? Well, dear friends, we bring ourselves to Romans 5 and what Paul says. He says, for if when you were enemies, you were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Dear friend, do I need to remind you here this afternoon in Ballymena the reality that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God? You know, man started in a very high place. You remember the story there of Adam and Eve in the garden. Man was placed in such a privileged position, and yet because of a sinful and willful nature, they fell from that high place of privilege. And thus, dear friend, you and I today have been affected by the fall of man. We live every day just really in evidence of a fallen nature within. I'm glad today, I'm sure there are those amongst us, and you try and live your life the best you can every day. You go maybe to a place of worship. You try and live a moral and upright life. But you know, Paul reminds us there again in Romans, there's not a just man or woman upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The reality, friend, that within, there's nothing good in any one of us that can bring us any closer to God. So therefore, God's great plan was found in the person of his Son. And it necessitated him going to the cross. Why, dear friend? That the offended and the offender might be brought back together again. That God might be reconciled with man. You know, dear friend, that's a wonder to my heart. For I know that deep in here there's nothing that God would ever want or God would ever desire from my heart, because I'm only just a sinner. Dear friend, the reality is the wonder of the message of the gospel. And the wonder of God's love is today that he would desire to be reconciled with any one of us. For if when we were enemies, Paul says, you know, dear friend, you maybe never thought about it, but today if you're still in your sins, you're an enemy against God. That's very serious, friend. Paul speaks of being condemned already, under the very judgment and canopy of God's condemnation and wrath. What a terrible, perilous place to be this afternoon, friend. You know, sin is an awful taskmaster, and sin will pay out wages. Those wages are eternal, dear friend. The Bible speaks of a place where the worm will never die. It speaks of a place of fire, dear friend. You know, that's the reality of sin. Sin brings punishment. That was the purpose of the cross. Really, the Romans on that day thought they were putting away an impostor, just another felon. That's why they nailed him to a tree. But you know, behind it all was the almighty eternal purpose of God, that he might deal with the great sin question. And the townsfolk of Ballymena and the surrounding areas, right across the world, the great matter of sin might be dealt with once and finally and forever. The preaching of the cross, dear friend, just over there in Bersheen and Wilbert Moore's yard, for many weeks there, the dear brethren have sought to preach the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a subject, dear friend. What a story. What a story of love. You know, it was no strange thing for men to be led outside Jerusalem. It was really a place called the place of a skull. You know, there were many other crucifixions had taken place there. And in many ways, to the natural eye, this one was no different. But wait a minute, friend. What made it all the difference was the person. I'm not thinking now so much of the preaching of the cross or the purpose of the cross, but I want us to think about the person on that middle tree, dear friend. You know, as John Bunyan wrote those words in Pilgrim's Progress, concerning Christian as he gazed upon the cross, he said, "Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, yea, blessed rather be the man who there was put to death for me." Dear friend, that's what makes it all the more significant, was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he was central to creation. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was with God at the very beginning. He made the worlds and the stars and the great cosmos and everything we see. He was central to the great creation. He's been central to the centuries of time. You look back your history books, there's no man has left a mark in the history of humanity like the Lord Jesus Christ. Artists have taken up their brushes. They have painted pictures of him, depicting him, and so on. Authors have taken their quills and their pens, and they've written books after books after books about the Christ of God. He has left a mark on the history and centuries of time. But dear friend, when we come to Calvary, you know, I was thinking of that lovely hymn we sometimes sing when we gather to remember the Lord, to Calvary now in spirit, Lord, our weary souls repair to gaze upon thy dying love and to taste its sweetness there. Sweet resting place of every heart that knows the plague of sin, yet knows the deep mysterious joy of peace with God within. Dear friend, can I ask you today, do you know anything of the peace of God in your soul? You know, sin is a plague. It has just been evidenced over the last hours in Ballymena. It's a plague, dear friend, on men and women and boys and girls. Sin, if you trifle with it, will cost you your soul. It will cost you heaven. And it will land you in hell, dear friend. But when we come to those three crosses, I want us to think of the man. He's the one that makes all the difference, friend, in the center tree. There was none ever lived like him. He was the sinless one. He was the one who lived in this world who has had a love for souls. Maybe you're here today and somebody has asked you to come to the gospel meeting. Thank you so much for coming. But you know, friend, our love for souls is just in measure.
But the Lord Jesus Christ had a love for men and women like none other. You know, he wept one day as he stood by the graveside of his friend Lazarus. What compassion. And yet, dear friend, we can say like the hymn writer, there was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. On the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. He was nailed to the tree. He was nailed to the tree. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross. And my sins, ah, friend, what about your sins today? Do you ever think about the one who bore them on the tree? None other than the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior to exclaim to you today. But there's something else, friend, I want to mention about the cross. I know there man's hatred was exposed in all its ferocity. You know the spot in his lovely face. They plucked the very hairs from his cheeks. They ploughed his back with the lacerations. And yet, dear friend, overriding it all, not only was man's heart revealed, but the very heart of God was exposed. Listen to the text again. We cannot be simple enough. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to mention the passion of the cross, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our world today is absolutely saturated with suffering. Men and women are in the depths of despair. Why, dear friend, is because of sin. Can I tell you, there was a man one day hanging upon a tree. He had never sinned in his life, friend. Sin had no claim upon the divine nature, the sinless perfection and character of the Lord Jesus. And yet he was willing there to be exposed not only to man's hatred, but to the very wrath and judgment of a holy God. You know, those sufferings were physical. If you'd have looked upon him that day, friend, you probably would have turned away. The sight was awful, what man done to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, those sufferings were more than physical. They were personal. He could say, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it, friend? And we read there that he, bearing his cross, went forth. You know, it was deeply personal to the Lord Jesus Christ. As he lay there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he could say, now is my soul troubled. And what about him on the cross, friend? Listen to the cry, the exclamation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Dear friend, today, do you ever wonder why the Savior cried an exclamation? Why hast thou forsaken me? Dear friend, he was forsaken there in those hours upon the cross, that you might not be forsaken for all eternity. Such was God's love, dear friend, and desire for you this afternoon, that you might escape eternal wrath and God's judgment for your sin, and that you might have an absolute assurance of place in heaven by trusting in his Son, even this afternoon, dear friend. His sufferings were physical. They were real. His sufferings were personal. You know, dear friend, I like this verse. His sufferings were permanent. They were final. But this man, the Hebrew writer reminds us, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Dear friend, there's something about the cross. Can I tell you this afternoon, God has been absolutely satisfied with the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means everything to God today. Can I challenge my audience and ask you, what does the cross, or what more importantly, does the Christ of the cross mean to you this afternoon as you sit in your car? Does it mean anything to you? Is it just a story that happened hundreds of years ago? Dear friend, can I suggest to you that the cross of Christ, if it means nothing to you, you're yet in your sins. I know there's men and women here sitting in their car parks, and the thought and sound of the cross of Christ, it draws just something up from the depth of their heart in wonder and worship about the one who there took their place in death and judgment. Dear friend, if you're ever going to be in heaven, if you're ever going to receive the great salvation that God offers, you're going to have to appreciate the man on that center cross taking your place in death and judgment. What has been the great result of the cross? Paul captures it very well in Colossians 1, for he says he hath made peace by the blood of his cross. I want to think of the peace of the cross. You know, when the Saviour hung in those hours of darkness, those 6 hours, 3 in the light and 3 in the darkness, can I tell you, he knew absolutely nothing about peace. He faced the ferocity of the crowd. He experienced the righteousness of God's judgment on his soul. And yet, dear friend, he did it all that you might experience peace in your soul and life, that you might make preparation for the world to come. Maybe you're living as if you think life goes on forever. Dear friend, it could be over in a moment. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Dear friend, today we urge you to be in time. If you know not Christ as your Saviour, if you have never experienced deliverance from your sin, don't rest today until you know Christ as your own and personal Saviour. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Dear friend, if you're willing to receive him today, I can guarantee you he will receive you. Christ receiveth sinful men, even me and all my sin. Is there anybody today and the weight of your sin bears heavy upon you? Dear friend, I hope it does. Oh, that the people of Ballymena would be awakened. There's a spirit of slumber right across our nation, and I believe the Lord is about to appear to the air to receive his people to himself. Are you ready, friend? If it were to happen today, are you ready? The purpose of the cross is that God might bring man together again. The person of the cross is the one that gives credence to it. God's only Son, the uniqueness of his person. What about the passion of the cross, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Thank God for the peace that he has made by his own precious blood. That was the shedding, dear friend, of his precious blood that is able to redeem your soul today. Now my time is almost gone. What am I, dear friend, the passing by of the cross? You see, dear friend, there were many on that occasion. I think it's Mark's gospel we read, that they passed by wagging their heads, just shook, in disdain and disgust. As they saw the man there in the center tree, they just passed by. I wonder what you're going to do with the Savior today. Are you going to pass by? You know, Jeremiah in his Lamentations, he says, is it nothing to you that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord has afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Dear friend, I hope you know that your sins caused the Savior tremendous suffering. There in that, those hours on the tree, he was willing to bear it all for you today, friend. Tell me, are you going to pass it all by? Not today. Not just at this present time in my life. I'm too busy. Give me just a little longer, for the world seems oh so bright. Listen, dear friend, the world isn't very bright after all. And you haven't been guaranteed tomorrow. Tomorrow is eternity, just hidden from your view. Dear friend, it's real. Living in this world is real, and the world to come is realer still. I hope you don't pass by the cross today, but I hope you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, but thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven or on earth but thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Listen to this, friend. You make it personal today. Therefore, Lord, for me, the cross. I say again, the cross means everything to God. My challenge to you this afternoon as I close, what does the cross mean to you? Dear friend, whatever you do, don't miss the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said that Christ was central to Calvary, to creation, to the centuries of time to Calvary. But he's central to something else. He's central to your choice this afternoon. What will you do with Jesus? The call comes low and clear. The solemn words are sounding in every listening ear. Eternal life's in the question, and joy through eternity. Then what will you do with Jesus? Ah, friend, it's the greatest question, it's the greatest choice you're ever going to have to face. Dear friend, there's no other way to heaven but choosing Christ today. I trust, dear friend, that these simple stammering remarks, I trust they have done enough, dear friend, with the help of God to stir your soul in relation to the cross. Don't pass by the Savior who loved you, who died for you, and I can guarantee you who would welcome you with open arms if you would turn from your sins and receive him this afternoon. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Our Father, we bow our hearts in thy holy presence, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank thee again for the honour and the privilege to represent our risen Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray a blessing upon the simple stammering remarks concerning the cross. We pray that some soul today may gaze upon the cross and see the man on that centre tree, taking their place in death and judgment, bearing their sin in his own body upon the tree. We ask that thy word might be hidden far beyond the reach of the evil one, the enemy of souls, and that today there might be rejoicing even in the very angels of heaven over souls receiving thy Son as Saviour. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear as we leave the one from the other, giving thanks for the cross and for the Lord Jesus Christ and his worthy name. Amen. Thank you very much.